to God. Please stand with me. I'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church. Thank God for Children's Church. Turn your attention to John, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse number 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I wonder how many times God has set up a situation, a scenario in our life just to see, what are you going to do? Boy, this thing looks impossible. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. In a minute, you'll set down. And likewise of fish, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I believe that God wants to do a miracle in our lifetime. I believe he wants to add and multiply. Just the crumbs that fall from heaven, folks, we couldn't contain them. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word. Let it go forth unhindered. Let it have an anointing, O God. Let it speak to our hearts. Bless it. Bless it as we break it before those that are seated. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't believe that this little boy's mother put 2 500-pound tunas in his lunch. I don't believe that there were 5 block-long sub sandwiches in his lunch that, you know, some people reason, well, that's the only way that this could happen. It said 2 small fishes and 5 barley loaves, or really little pieces of bread. And it doesn't say what kind of container or lunchbox his mother used, but it must have been a regular practice of packing his lunch for the day. You mothers know what I'm talking about. For many, it's a ritual every morning, packing a lunch for your children, and then you make the decision what is going to be put in the lunch. Well, I know some of you ask your child, well, what do you want for lunch today? And, of course, you're not always going to agree on what they want in their lunch in comparison to what you know should be in their lunch. Our children develop an appetite for the rest of their life based on what you put in front of them. It's true. It's true. I was saying to my wife just the other day, you know, I'm grateful for our young people in the church, that have been raised in the church, they don't have to overcome some obstacles that some of us adults have had to overcome and retrain ourselves to say, hey, this is where I belong on Sundays. And could it be that what you feed them, they also share with those that are around them? Here's a little boy who wasn't very selfish. He just wanted to show, I could help, you know. And I love it when our little kids want to help in doing this or doing that. The funny thing about kids is they eventually become adults. And when you save an adult, you get half a life. But when you save a child, you get a whole life. A whole time. There were 30 years that I have wasted that I didn't do anything for God, and I regret those 30 years, and I'm glad that I've served God longer than I have not served Him. Every day you are packing a lunch for your children, even if they provide school lunch. They become what we pack in their little craniums, likes and dislikes, priorities and preferences. What's important? Don't ever expect your kids to do things that you didn't do. You know? If you don't come to church, don't expect them to be faithful. If you don't pray, don't expect them to pray. If you don't believe in miracles, don't expect them to believe in miracles, because every day you're packing something in that little brain of theirs to realize what is going to happen in the future. Train them up. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from what he was trained. So we always quote this in reference to living for God, but if a child is raised with the wrong set of values, he or she will find life is going to be most difficult. And so these little kids are watching us to see what we become. They're watching us in the good times if we're giving God the glory. They're watching us in the bad times to see whether or not we really have faith to believe that God is going to do something. When I was going to school, this is a very sad story. My mother never packed me a lunch. I know. That's why I am the way I am today. I remember, especially in high school, I would have to go to my father on a Monday to get the dollar and a quarter for an entire week of hot lunch. But I would dread it, because my father wasn't one of these guys that, whatever you want. It was, I just gave you a dollar and a quarter last week. What did you do with it, you know? But my mother packed me a lunch every day. You will not do that. I'm telling you, even after I was married, I remember my mother saying, you better treat that woman right. You know, she was still packing my lunch after I was married. And sometimes we just give in to our kids because we just don't want to have a battle. So we pack the wrong things. Amen. Some years ago, I used this illustration of a lunch bucket. And I really believe that we're every day doing something in order to help or to hinder our kids. And so we pack lunches for diabetes, and we pack lunches for tooth decay, and we pack lunches for sugar rushes, you know what I'm saying? I just figured I pack gobstoppers. I've never had any, but I know they have got to be nutritious, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Twizzlers, oh man, I love Twizzlers, you know. And nothing will preserve you like Twinkies. Nothing will preserve you like Twinkies, I'm telling you. And ho. Yeah. Look at the hands going up for ho-hos. Amen. And this, who loves worms early in the morning? You know what I mean? Worms, worms, worms everywhere. Hallelujah. My favorite is a Snicker bar. It's called, it says right on there, it will satisfy. They wouldn't lie. It will satisfy. Hallelujah. Amen. How many duds do we have in here? Because I got some milk duds for you. Amen. Glory to God. And my wife really loves Reese's with the peanut butter. You know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Oh, she got hit in the head. And then we've got Mother's Memorial Candy. M&M's. Glory to God. And how do you wash it down? You got to have Red Bull. You know? We have got to get some more energy. Here's a man who needs Red Bull right here. Right? And then, of course, I've never tried this, but I'm certain it works. This is extra strength, 5-hour energy. Glory to God. Amen. Boy, this is a neat thing because it's got extra compartments. And then there is potato chips, ripples, you know, ripples. How much am I bid? See, you know what? You can see that there's some advantage of sitting up close, don't you? Huh? Glory to God. Amen. So I don't know what God would do with a lunch like that, but I'm telling you, there are a whole bunch of people in this world who aren't getting their lunch packed properly. You know what? They're getting sugar shock from the pulpit. They're getting empty calories. They're getting poor messages that just really don't give them any kind of strength whatsoever. And when I was a kid, most of that stuff didn't even exist. And even if it did, my parents wouldn't even have it in the house. It just didn't work. But what I've found is an antique lunchbox. It's Zorro. Zorro. Some of you kids, I'll explain to you later who Zorro is. But old-time lunchboxes, sometimes you can't open them. Amen. Here is Sargento's Balance Break with nuts and cheese. They are building a multi-million-dollar plant in Sheboygan just because there are so many of these things that are being sold right now. Amen. Glory to God. And you know what? I believe that God does the best packaging of anybody. Glory to God. Amen. Wow. Don't slip on that. Okay. All right. Who wants an apple? Come on. Who wants it? Who wants it? Glory to God. These are good things. These are nutritious things, you know. Here's one, sliced apples with peanut butter. I mean, what could be any better than that, you know? Glory to God. And here's a one fiber bar. You know, it's only 90 calories. You could use some more. Amen. A cheese stick. Everybody needs a cheese stick. And then if you really get hungry at night, there's a piece of meat for you. Carrots. Carrots. Look out! Another fiber bar. And here, a breakfast smoothie. I'm telling you. Now listen, folks, if I see you eating in here while I'm preaching, there's gonna be some problems, and no drinking either. And every once in a while, what my mother would do is, well, she sent a little note, you know? Huh? She must have really loved me. And on it, there'd be some special things like separation. Work ethics. Holiness. Every once in a while, you get a little note from our God as he's feeding us. Abstinence. You know, that's what goes into a good lunch. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that there are mothers who are still packing lunches, who really care about their children. But you know what? All the other kids are getting, well, it doesn't matter what they get. I want you to grow up to be what God wants you to be. I know one thing, if you don't pack it, they will never, ever swallow it. If you don't say it, they're never going to respond to it. And sometimes kids bring things home after you pack the lunch because nobody wanted to eat it, you know? We didn't know what was good for us before we came to the church. But Psalms 34 and 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, you know, it's like the shoe bread with the frankincense on it. When you first bite into it, it was very bitter. But as you chewed it, it became very sweet. And you wanted more and more and more of it. We're coming into the season of kumquats. Anybody know what a kumquat is? Kumquat is, looks like a little orange like this. You put it in your mouth. You bite it. You don't peel it or anything. And at first, oh, is it sour? And then it becomes so refreshing. But that's what the Word of God. There are people who won't open this book because they're afraid of what they're going to read. Hallelujah. You know, I pack your lunch every service. I try to put some nutrition in it, not just sugar shock. And a lot of it, if you are truthful, you really don't like at first. Oh, you aren't rude enough to spit it out while I'm preaching, you know. But sometimes you have to go home before you swallow it. And now many of you request the things that were hard to swallow before, like more holiness, please. Could I have an extra helping of faithfulness? Preach a little harder for me. There was a woman that came here, Kitty Hall. I baptized her years ago. I think she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and for some reason she hasn't been around for about 6 years, and she showed up today. She was the last, very last person out of here. And she said, Pastor, that was just an awesome message. Now, if I were to ask anybody how bad that message was, it would be her, because she hasn't been around. She hasn't adhered to the standards of the church. But you know what? God gives an anesthetic to people in order to receive whatever he puts in the lunchbox. Glory to God. Who would have thought that any of us would have shoe bread with its bitter taste? Many people think that the Word of God is bitter until one day they get healed, until one day they get delivered, until one day they're shaking up at the altar and filled with the Holy Ghost, and now all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? My appetite has been reinvented. Now all of a sudden there's some things that I want that I never used to want at all. None of that could happen unless the preacher packed your lunch with some wholesome stuff. A little boy's lunch fed 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children, and there were 12 baskets left over. Jesus asked Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus was just testing their faith. Would you turn to Mark, the 6th chapter? Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into a country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." He's talking about us, folks. He's talking about those of us who have had their lunch packed for years and years and years. We have so much information. We have so many experiences. And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And so, you know, we always look at what we don't have versus what we could have from God. Can you imagine? His disciples saw the problem, but the little boy saw the answer, because of what mom packed in his lunch. Perhaps the disciples laughed at the boy, but he had faith in what his mother had packed every day over and over again. He believed. Sometimes we just have to get to a point where we're as a little child and simply believe, my God's going to take care of this. Declare it. Open your mouth and say it. Amen. It's not us that heals. It's not us that delivers. It's not us that provides. It's always God. One day our children will be in a similar situation. Dad isn't there to provide. The pastor perhaps can't bail them out. They will have to rely on what has been packed in their lunch for years over and over again. And now they're going to have to stand up and simply say, "I can do that. I saw my dad do that. I can do that. I saw my mother do it. I can do that." That's what the preacher has been saying. Now it's an opportunity for me to demonstrate. I've got it. Would you turn to 2 Kings 5? Second Kings chapter 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by company and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that he that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy." One little girl who knows all about the miracles, one little girl who had been hearing about it all of the time. Nobody else had the answer, but there was one little girl. What about somebody in our schools? What about somebody on the job? What about somebody in your family? Someone had been putting the real deal in this little girl's lunch every day. What have you been putting in your child's lunch? Because it matters. Have you ever wondered what God saw in Abraham's resume in spite of his idolatrous surroundings, because his father was an idol maker? And why would God call Abraham? What are his qualifications to cause God to choose him? You see, Abraham's name will never be forgotten. He is the man who would be called the father of the faithful, the friend of God, the depository of truth, the caretaker of God's nation. He was a man that would be touted not only through the Old Testament, but the New Testament. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of those high priests all look to Abraham, much like the Republicans look to Reagan right now. And what was the unique quality that God saw in him that he didn't see in anybody else? It's really amazing. Take a look at Genesis, the 18th chapter. And verse number 19. It says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Why? Because he's going to command his house. You'll find in the New Testament, if you want to be a bishop, well, that's a wonderful thing, but you have to control your household or you cannot become a bishop. You cannot become somebody within the church that God is going to use. God called Abraham because he knew that he would command his children to keep the way of the Lord and to do justice or that which was right. Abraham laid his son on an altar. Who would ever believe the thing that he loved most in this world, his only flesh? God said, "I want you to sacrifice." And Abraham laid him on the altar, even though he was 120 and Isaac was probably 20, could have overpowered him. And God said, "Now I know thou fearest or loved me, seeing thou hast not withheld thy only son." You know, God's saying, you know what? If you do the right thing, Isaac, he could have raised up, said, "Listen, that is absolutely ridiculous. I am not going with you. I am not going to submit to it." But for years and years and years, Abraham and Sarah were telling Isaac all about the goodness of God and how faithful God would be. Isaac believed as much as Abraham believed because Abraham taught his family. It was at that time God swore a blessing on him and became Jehovah Jireh. Abraham didn't justify why his son didn't have to live up to his same standards. You know? You know what happens, folks, is every summer I can't hardly drive by a truck farm without getting depressed, because every summer I worked on a truck farm, you know, picking tomatoes and cucumbers and doing all that in order to have enough money to buy school clothes. Now you can say, "Oh, again," you know. But because of that, some of us say, "I don't want my kids ever have to do that." Why not? Why not? "Oh, I want them to have more than I had. I want them to have it easier than I had." Why? Maybe that's why this generation isn't turning out the way it's supposed to turn out, because it's just so easy. "What do you want, honey? I'll give it for you." Because we might have had it a little harder. So what? It builds character. It determines who we really are. We can't safeguard our children from being committed to God. If the Pentecostal altar was good enough for us, shouldn't the Pentecostal altar be good enough for our kids, instead of us walking to the altar and leaving our kids on the back row in order to play games? We ought to grab them and bring them to the altar. The thing that saved us needs to be in them. We are investing heavily in our children in this church, with Sunday school and Power Hour and Children's Church and a youth room that, you know, people are sacrificing for. And I won't tell you who, they're not here. They said, "Pastor, what was the offering for? What was that special thing?" And I said, "Well, it was for the youth room and the sign-in." And they said, "Well, oh, I thought it was something important." You see, sometimes we get to the place where, you know, we just don't realize the importance. There isn't anything more important than investing our children. Amen. Hallelujah. Our kids wouldn't go to school before we all gathered in the living room, knelt down at a sofa, and started to pray. I think there's some value in a family altar, spending some time. Let your kids see you pray, not only in church, but at home as well. We are investing. But what about bringing them to an altar with us? Help them raise their hands in worship. Bring them to Saturday morning prayer. You know, anything that you do for more than 6 months becomes a habit. And I'm absolutely amazed that 4 years later, we just have a whole multitude of people that are faithful that come to Saturday morning prayer. But you know what? If you don't come to Saturday morning prayer, they won't come. Eventually, they're going to have to make their own decisions. And what they're doing is they're evaluating what's important in your life. Well, Pastor, they're just too old to make them do anything. Well, they're not too old to backslide. You know? Well, I've asked them. Don't ask them. Tell them. My parents weren't saved, but they told me what I was supposed to do. They were providing my food. They were providing a shelter for me. They're providing a safe place. Sometimes you have to simply say, come on, honey, you're coming with me. Oh, you got a headache? Well, come on. There's a place where you can get that headache fixed. Hallelujah. Keep packing their lunch. Don't let them just have social time with friends, especially not while I'm preaching. Oh, let them sit in the back. At least they are coming to church. No. That's not a good idea. Hey, I'm preaching from the old lunchbox. I sat in a church quiet and attentive long before I was ever baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost because I respected the house of God. Our tendency as parents is to shelter our kids. My children will never have to sacrifice like I sacrificed. I want to shield them from all of those things. That's foolish. It really is. Could I just inject one thing here? Never expect them to be what you are unless they go through some of the things that you have gone through. Our children are not too good to carry the cross. Nor are they too good to suffer for the name of Jesus. It will not hurt them to be persecuted for separation. It was God's program for us, and God hasn't changed the program for our children. It makes us who we are. Now buckle up. It is still the will of God for our kids to go to public school and refuse to dress down like those in public school. We don't dress immodest. We are Christians. I don't care what the rest of the world is. I don't care if their pants are falling down to their knees. It still doesn't make any sense. I don't care if it's immodest. We are Christians and we need to stand for something. They need to see who we are. After meeting with Rafael Cruz, I walked into a Joseph A. Banks that was right next door at Mayfair, and I said to the guy, they closed the Joseph A. Banks store in Racine. And he said, yeah, nobody's getting dressed up anymore. Well, why? You know, corporate casual. Hallelujah. I was saying to my wife just yesterday, there must have been something wrong with me when I was a kid. I couldn't wait to buy my first pair of wingtip shoes, you know? Glory to God. I wanted to dress up. I wanted to be an adult, and dress really determined who was an adult. Glory to God. I have so many people respond like, wow, your church really dresses up. Well, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we put the best that we have on in order to stand before our Lord? Hallelujah. It is still the will of God for our young ladies to declare, I'm a virgin, and not be ashamed of it. Hallelujah. What are you putting in your child's lunchbox? The whole school could be saved because of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The whole school could be saved because somebody has had their lunch packed every day with a bunch of faith, with a bunch of scripture, with a bunch of you can do it, honey. Hallelujah. We need to pack things like to be right and stand alone is better than be wrong and carried on the shoulders of wicked people. Oh, don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching from old lunchboxes. The old ways, the old landmarks. Why not? If we really want God to bring revival, then maybe we ought to look like revival and act like revival and hold to the same things that brought revival. We need to understand that our power hour on Wednesday is more important than homework. We need to establish that Bible quizzing is more important than soccer or Little League. Hallelujah. Pack in there, the book is always right, and the pastor loves you. Pack some scriptures in the box that they need to quote, Acts 2 and 38, 1 Peter 3 and 21, 1 Timothy 3 and 16, Colossians 2, 8 through 10, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, that Jesus is the mighty God and the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If we will properly pack the lunch, that's what I'm trying to do. You're all my kids, and I'm trying to pack the lunch. I don't want to have a sugar shock after every service. That service was just so awesome. We shouted and we screamed, and there were people dancing up at the altar. Well, what did he preach on? I don't know, but we shouted and we screamed and we had a good time. No, there has to be some depth. There has to be some revelation. They will never wind up in a Trinitarian church with three gods if they know the mighty Christ in Jesus. They will never feel comfortable with close friends in the world if they're constantly having the right lunch packed. Why do you think I preach doctrine so much? It's because I'm packing the lunch, because there has to be some substance all the time. Deuteronomy 28 speaks of what happened when people will not hearken to the voice of God, to observe, to do all of his commandments. Take a look at Deuteronomy 28 and 32. Deuteronomy 28:32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. If we're not packing their lunch, what is going to happen is the world is going to take them captive. They're going to find something else to interest them. Amen. That's why we're building a youth room. That's why we have so many services. That's why we emphasize all of these things. I don't believe that God wants us to raise them in the church to become a part of the world eventually. Amen. 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 Our children need to experience the same joy of salvation that we have. And if somehow you lost your joy, well, you better get it back for your children's sake. Because they're not going to get any more excited than you are. You need to pack their lunch. Now, if our kids can't see the joy in living for God, they will end up enjoying something else or worldly entertainment. Sundays are different than the rest of the week. They need to understand that. This is set aside for God. Hey, kids, what time is it? I can tell how old some of you are. It's howdy doody time. Hey, kids, what time is it? It's time to go to church, and we need to get there early. Let's sing on the way to church instead of fussing and griping and talking about what we're going to do tomorrow. David said he was glad when they said unto him, "Let us go to the house of the Lord," because his joy was there in salvation. I'm excited. You know, I know what's going to happen at the grocery store. I know what's going to happen at the gas station. I know what's going to happen at the barber, but I have no idea what's going to happen in the house of the Lord, because something great could happen every time we gather ourselves to the house of the Lord. The Bible said that Solomon did all that was in his father's heart. Solomon. Our children will do what is in our heart, what we get excited about. Every year, my wife and I take like 2 days, maybe 3 days, go up to Rhinelander, Minocqua. We visit all of the same places to make sure that they're still there, you know. And why is that? Because when I was a kid, that's where my folks took me. And when she was a kid, that's where her folks took me. There was something that was established in us that said, this is normal. This is what we do. What our kids need to say is, this is normal. This is what we get excited about. You see? Hallelujah. Because there was a temple in David's heart. Solomon was able to complete what was in David's heart and build a temple that David could not build because he was a man of war. What will our children complete after we're gone? Son, one day God is going to use you to a great degree. Daughter, what talents you have. God has given you talents that you need to share with others. We are packing their lunch for a future revival that we may never see, but it's going to happen because we instill that in their lives. There are lots of great men and women who have never preached a sermon or ever built a church or ever had a ministry, but they raised children who have. Amen. Where's the greater reward? Are you raising a champion of faith? What are you putting in their lunch? Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I am now ready to be offered because I have poured myself into a young man, Timothy. And even after I'm gone, Timothy is going to preach what I preached, believe what I believed, you see. Church, none of us are ready to leave here until you have somebody to take your place. Think about it. Have you saved somebody? Have you discipled somebody? If for some reason you were taken off here, would there be somebody sitting on the pew in this place after you go that you're responsible for? The lad in our scripture text was unnamed. Don't know his name. But I would have loved to have gone home with him that day. You know, wouldn't that have been cool? When he burst through the door to tell his mother what happened. Oh, Mom, I wish you could have been there. I saw Jesus feed 5,000 men and all kinds of women and all kinds of children. And oh, I wish you could have been there, because the exciting part is, Mother, they used my lunch. It was my lunch that they used in order to feed the thousands of people. Mom, you were a part of it, Mom. You were a part of the miracle. Oh, that our kids could come home from school and say, Mom, you should have been there. Little Johnny had a problem, and I just put my hand on him, and I prayed in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden the power of God came down on him, and he began to speak in other tongues. Because Because you, Mom, because you, Dad, you gave me something. You encouraged me. You caused faith to rise up in me. Hallelujah. I talked to Brother East at about 5:30. He called me. He's down in Texas. He preached at his son's church, and 48 people from his family came to church with him this morning. And I mean, there was a move of God. You know, he said, all of what I do, the most important thing is investing in my family and seeing them saved. And he's got an adopted daughter, and now she has associated herself with a boy, and the boy or young man is an atheist. He linked to the wrong family, I'm telling you. So yesterday, he meets this young man, and he said, young man, and he said, wait a minute, I'm an atheist, so don't try to convert me. You know, we can talk about your Bible, but don't try to convert me. And Brother E said, listen, I have experience. I just don't have knowledge. And what you need is to have experience. And so he baptized his grandson this morning. And as he was baptizing the grandson, this young man was standing by the baptismal watching this whole thing happen. And as Brother East was baptizing, he said to this young man, and this is what you need. Amen. And tears just streamed out his face, and he said, I know it. Amen. I have a nice house. I have some nice furniture. I have a nice lease car that tells me when I need coffee. But none of it can I take to heaven with me except my family. All of our emphasis, all of our priorities need to be on our family. Whatever it takes, I'll pay the price. Doesn't matter if I'm comfortable. I want them to be comfortable for eternity. And the same is true for this church. I'm just going to keep packing the lunch with all of the good stuff. Not the ho-hos and the Twinkies, but the good stuff. The real food that comes straight out of the book. Not diluted, not sugared down, but quality stuff. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen. There was a time a few years ago that this altar used to be packed with little kids coming up as soon as song service started. And I don't see that as much anymore. But I really think it's important that we bring our kids up to the altar in order to worship. Altar time, come on, honey. You know, I know you want to run, you know, that atrium, and I know you want to go down to the gymnasium, and now we have pool tables and all that down in the youth room. But you know what? That's all distractions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When they see that it's serious in your life, it'll be serious in their life as well. Amen. I love you. The altar's open. Would you come?